Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Need expert advice on your family's health? Speak to us today at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network. Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Expert advice on vitamins to help build immunity at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
Now, in sports news, this week a pro boxing fight was sanctioned between, wait for it, former world heavyweight champion Mike Tyson and YouTuber turned boxer Jake Paul. I'm joined now by Kevin Byrne, boxing writer for the Irish Sun. Good afternoon, Kevin. Thanks for coming in.
Afternoon, Brendan. How are you doing?
Good. So, look, we all know who Mike Tyson is. Just tell us who Jake Paul is.
Jake Paul is a bit of a cultural phenomenon for, you know, people who are younger than us, I suppose. Jake Paul came up as a Disney kid, shot to prominence as a social media star, but built up a big bank of social media followers. And so him and his brother, Logan Paul, the first time they came to my attention was when his brother, Logan Paul, put himself in the headlines, really, by making a bizarre video mocking, like, he went into a forest where people in Japan tend to commit suicide, and he made a mocking video. He had to apologise. It's the first time I really heard of the guys. After that, they kind of used their fame to leverage it effectively to move into the sphere of white-collar boxing, which became professional boxing. And Jake Paul has now built up a number of fights. I think his second bout was a professional boxing card in 2020. It was on the undercard of an Irish guy, Luke Keeler's world title shot in Florida. Since then, he's fought a collection, like a motley crew, effectively, of basketball players, mixed martial artists, and the odd professional boxer. And, I mean, he's a runaway train, really, in terms of his fame and his popularity with people in a younger demographic. He's founded a promotional company called MVP, Most Valuable Promotions, in 2021. And when you own the promotional company, it's your train set, and you can set up the events and you can do what you want in them. And that's what he's done with this one. He's set up about with Mike Tyson. I presume Mike Tyson's earning a very substantial fee.
I suppose, just hang on a minute, though. I suppose people, right, there was always an element of showbiz to boxing and everything. Is this a real boxing match, though, or is this just showbiz?
We were wondering for a good while, would it be sanctioned as a professional contest? And it would, it's not unusual for former boxers or retired boxers to box on a kind of an exhibition circuit so they can remain fit and, you know, sell a few tickets, usually for good causes, you know.
Okay.
So you'll have boxers in their 40s or 50s and they'll have a fight against another faded star, and they'll wear T-shirts and stuff, and they'll wear big heavy gloves, and it's usually for charity or something like that, or for a good cause. And that's what we would have expected this fight to nearly have been, but it's not. For some reason, Mike Tyson's been given a license to fight at the age of 58 when he's going to be in the ring. It's 20 years since Mike Tyson. It's 19 years, actually, to be correct.
So this is sport.
It's, to all intents and purposes, it's business, really, Brendan.
Okay.
I don't see it as sport. It's a bit of a clown show, really, but it is officially sanctioned as a sporting contest. They will be. There are a few kind of things that are unusual about it. They'll wear heavier gloves than normal. They're going to wear 14-ounce gloves. Rather than 10-ounce gloves, which would be required.
What will that mean, like, in reality?
Bit more padding, probably a little less danger for Jake Paul against the fists of Mike Tyson.
Okay.
And possibly a bit more safety for Mike Tyson, although bigger gloves don't really protect you from brain injuries and concussions and stuff. And, you know, it's a dangerous fight for Mike Tyson even to be undertaken. In his prime, right, Mike Tyson could kill Jake Paul with his first punch in his prime. Jake Paul doesn't belong even in the same stadium, let alone the same ring. However, at the age of nearly 58, Mike Tyson's entering, he shouldn't be in a professional boxing contest. For an example, the Boxing Union of Ireland, if you're over the age of 40, they won't really license you. They see you as kind of, no, there's nothing good to be gained from this. So at 58, it's bizarre that Mike Tyson's being given a professional boxing license to fight again. It's 19 years since his last contest, and he was washed up. Monaghan's Kevin McBride stopped him in Washington 19 years ago. So Tyson was all done then, and yet he's climbing back in.
Okay, but is there huge money involved here?
Well, there would have to be, really. I mean, Conor McGregor versus Floyd Mayweather Jr. in 2017 kind of opened Pandora's box on these bizarre contests, really. People famous from different sporting kind of organisations came together. Apparently Mayweather earned $280 million for that, and McGregor about half, but $140 million. It showed the sort of money that people are willing to spend on these circus events.
So it's a stunt, like?
It's a stunt, but, you know, you look at what Netflix are paying now for, like, what did Netflix pay for, like, Dave Chappelle for a one-off comedy special? Yeah, $30 million. Yeah. How much does Ricky Gervais earn for his one-off special? So you'd imagine this is going to have eyeballs all around the world. Netflix is one of those subscription services that nearly everybody seems to have.
So it'll be live on Netflix.
Live on Netflix. If you subscribe to Netflix, you don't have to pay an extra pay-per-view fee. You do have to be a subscriber. I mean, Arlington Stadium in Texas, I think it holds 80,000 for an American football match. But if you add in the seats on the pitch as well, there could be over 100,000 people at this event. And I looked at tickets there today. The cheapest I could see was over $300. Now, this is on a resale service, but, you know, you add up those numbers, it's over $30 million just at the gate alone. So it's massive money.
So they're not the clones here at all? Like,
No, the paying public, the punters are, and people are going to tune in as morbid curiosity or just for the entertainment factor.
And are Netflix, is this their first time doing something like
this? They haven't done anything in boxing before. And, you know, as far as I'm aware, they haven't really, they've stepped into a few sporting documentaries and stuff like that. And it's been successful. They had Drive to Survive on F1. They've tried their hand at like tennis and golf documentaries, not quite as successful.
Yeah, rugby.
But live sport still gets people tuning in. Like the big events still get people tuning in. And Netflix are probably breaking the bank on this one, I would imagine. And if it goes well, we'll see more.
Okay. Now, weirdly, Katie Taylor is also involved here.
Katie Taylor versus Amanda Serrano 2, the rematch. They fought 2 years ago at Madison Square Garden. The richest female fight in history, maybe the best female fight in history. You know, it was absolutely fantastic contest. Taylor won just about. You know, she had to come through hellfire to win the fight. Undisputed world lightweight champion. Now she's defending her undisputed light welterweight championship against Serrano in a rematch. Serrano boxes for the company founded by Jake Paul, MVP Promotions. So where he goes, he tends to bring her with him.
Right.
So that's Katie Taylor's in on this. And there's been criticism about it because I guess on one hand, like Mike Tyson, you know, went to prison, convicted of rape. Jake Paul has accusations against him in terms of sexual assault, which he denies. And also it's a bit of a circus fight. It's a bit of a clown fight. People would think that Katie Taylor has no business on a card like that, and also that Katie Taylor has no business as a co-headliner or on an undercard. She should be, you know, there was talk all year of her headlining at Croke Park. However, this will probably be the most watched boxing contest of all of 2024, and she's earning nearly $6 million for it, and she gets the opportunity to box in front of maybe 100,000 people. I think it's an offer too good to refuse, really.
Yeah. we won't judge her. What has Tyson been up to? So, like, did he manage to kind of come back from, being in prison for rape? He had various other troubles and legal issues as well.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's huge business even now. And, like, I was shocked to see, even in terms of social media, he even leaves Jake Paul, you know, for dust, really. He's got 28.5 million Instagram followers, beats Jake Paul by a couple of million. Same on Twitter, same on Facebook. He's got far more followers even. So his name is still electric among the younger generation. Probably, I think 2020 was a great year for him because live sport across the world stopped and we all went on a big nostalgia buzz. You remember RT were showing Italian 90 at night time. I think people who are interested in fighting because there was no live boxing, no live mixed martial arts to watch, people went mad watching old videos and Mike Tyson just shot to the top, and he had an exhibition bout that year against Roy Jones Jr., another kind of past his best boxer in his late 40s, and that did big business. And suddenly Mike Tyson found himself to be, like, once again the most famous boxer in the world. He remains probably the most recognisable and known boxer in the world, like, after Muhammad Ali, I guess, who's, you know, passed away a couple of years now.
Yeah, okay. Give us a sense of Tyson's heyday, because he was huge, wasn't he?
He was a force of nature, really. Like, I mean, he was, at the age of 15 and 16, they had to bring in adult sparring partners for him. You know, one of the guys brought across was Joe Egan from Dublin. Actually, Tyson, in his first couple of fights, wore the Ireland shorts. Not many people know that, but he wore, Joe Egan gifted him his IABA Ireland international shorts, and Tyson wore those for his first couple of contests. Like, he won the world title, the youngest heavyweight champion in history, by beating Trevor Burbick at the age of 20, knocked out, like, Bone Crusher Smith, Tony Tucker, Larry Holmes, everybody. So by 1988, he was riding high. He looked completely indestructible. A couple of things happened. His manager outside the ring died, Jim Jacobs, and his the guy who guided him, Custom Addo, passed away as well. And after that, he came under the clutches of Don King and a few few feral sharks. And his, like, Tyson had a complicated upbringing as well. I think he suffered abuse as a kid in Brooklyn, and, you know, he, had he not found boxing, he would have been, I'm sure, locked up, you know, for his criminal intent. But he found a way to marshal that and put it into the ring. Such a destructive force, but he was beaten by James Buster Douglas in 1990, lost his championship, and then in 1992 convicted of rape. Massive fall from grace, obviously. When he was released in 1995, the interest didn't go away. You know, it was like, what's this caged animal going to be like? Yeah, and he came out and he knocked out this Irish-American guy, Peter McNeely, in a round. And, you know, he made many millions of dollars for his few seconds work there. And, like, one of the most popular fighters in the world was Frank Bruno from Britain. Tyson had beaten him pre-prison, but then, you know, Bruno was riding high at the time, and he slaughtered Frank Bruno. Looked like he was even more dangerous than he'd ever been. And maybe, so he, like, every time he performed, he seemed to bring eyeballs. But then, like, it went wrong again. He met Evander Holyfield, lost the first fight, then bit his ear off in the rematch, you know, which, bizarrely enough, Tyson now has a cannabis empire. And he made a collaboration recently with Evander Holyfield, where he was selling edible gummies, cannabis gummies, in the shape of the bitten off ear. So he found a way to make money out of everything, really.
Yeah, yeah. And as much as we think, isn't this a sad past to see Mike Tyson doing this? He's the one who's probably walking away with $100 million out of it.
But I think Brendan as well, like, his career earnings are like $400 million or whatever, but he's not worth anything like that now. He's probably, I think, according to an article I read, he's worth about $10 million. He's filed for bankruptcy in the past. He's squandered nearly everything he's earned. So this is a nice way, nice retirement fund.
Okay. Will you be watching it?
I would definitely be watching the Taylor-Serrano fight. Had it not been bumped up with a supporting bout like that, maybe not. But I think, out of morbid curiosity, it's going to be hard to miss. I haven't watched much of Jake Paul's career up to this point. Don't see the point in watching him against basketball players and mixed martial artists. But his last contest, or a contest last year against a boxer from Britain, Tommy Fury, who's also more famous for what he's done outside of the ring than inside the ring, that was at least an engaging enough contest.
So listen, you've been sucked in. We've all been sucked in. Yeah. Kevin Byrne, boxing writer with The Sun, thank you very much. We'll take a break.
Email brendan@rte.ie.